we're holding on Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis, the third line from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that you have a case where, we said in the Mishnah, Yeshem based in Masdin Befnehem, we said you can have a case where a person's time is valuable and he doesn't want to take off time to return the Aveda, which is going to cost him. So ordinarily, we said he's only entitled to Kapoil Bottle. He's only entitled to be paid light of a lesser amount than he usually would. And we talked about what the various possibilities are. Does it mean, in other words, how much he'd be willing to be paid to do easier work? How much he'd be willing to pay to be paid to do no work at all? And to take off a day of work, how much his labor would be worth at a time when jobs are scarce and people will do anything for a living, whatever the case. The point is, so now suppose the person says, I don't want that, my time is worth $100 per hour, then I want $100, and if not, then I can't return the, and if not, then I'm not going to return the Aveda because I'm too busy and my time is valuable. So we said, if there's a based in him, Yeshem based in Masdin Befnehem, so if there's a based in there, he can make a tanai like that in front of them, and then that tanai can, and then he can hold the other person to that tanai. So the Gemara tells a case in this connection about what it means to have a based in this connection, how it relates to another area of Allah. The Gemara tells, Isur Rav Safra Ovid Iska Bahadi Hadodi. Isur and Rav Safra had a business, they had a partnership together. This Isser actually is an interesting character. The Rashbam in Bava Basra explains that we have all over Shas, we have the Mori Bar Rochel, we have the Amora, the Mori Bar Rochel, and why is he named after his mother Rochel rather than his father? So his mother had actually been at one point captured and had been taken captive by Goyim, and a Goy by the name of Isser raped her and she became pregnant. Later on, this Isser became a Ger. Rav Mori, their child, Rav Mori, is a classic example of Horosi Shalei Bikdusha, Valei Dosei Bikdusha. He was conceived when his father was still a Goy, and by the time he was born, his father was already a Yid. But, nevertheless, in Halacha, they're not considered, because his father was a Goy when he was conceived, then they're not considered to have any relationship to one another. We're gonna learn in Bava Basra, we'll learn next year. That's the Shem when we get to that part. About a whole story where Isser wanted to leave a Yerusha to Rav Mori, and it was complicated in Halacha because they're not considered to be related. Anyway, the point is that the point is that now this Isser became a Ger, and we find him in a couple of places in Shas. So here he and Rav Safra had a business together. Rashi points out that what they had it wasn't just that they joined together as far as money, because then we're talking about over here as far as dissolving the partnership and figuring out how much each one owns. If it was money, then you wouldn't need to do that. Then coins, it's very clearly visible who gets what. The case is over here that there was actually merchandise that they had in common in their partnership. So they had this merchandise. Also, Rav Safra polaglei b'loy daita d'Isser. Now, Rav Safra decided to divide up the assets of the partnership without Isser's knowledge. Isser was out of town or something, and Rav Safra figured, I want out of the deal, and so he divided everything up. Ba'ape b'tre, in the presence of two people, he did it. Instead of a beis din of three, he figured it's not necessary, and he did it only in front of a beis din of two. Also, a kamei to Rabbi Bar Avuna. So the case was brought to Rabbi Bar Avuna to ask with Isser and Pashtus. We can imagine that Isser took Rav Safra to Beis Din to argue that not necessarily was the division correct, and maybe it should have been done at least in the presence of a Beis Din of three, so they can evaluate whether everything was valued correctly. We have to remember, by the way, Rav Safra, the Gemara tells us in Matthias, was a paragon of honesty. The Gemara says over there, when it says in the Pasuk, the Dover Emes Bilvavoy, that an example of that is Rav Safra. You know, the story over there where someone came into his store to buy something, and he was in the middle of saying Krishna, and he didn't answer when the guy was offering more and more money for the thing, and eventually he told him, I'm giving it to you for the original price. So maybe it's not so much that Isser suspected that Rav Safra had taken something that he shouldn't, but still, you know, you're supposed to do these things in front of a beis din. Anyway, Omar Lay, so Rabbi Bar Rav Huna says, yeah, Zil Aisi Tlosa de Palgas Kamayhu, go bring the three people that you divided in front of. Now, in this case, Reb Safra did it only in front of two, but they say he's saying you were supposed to have done it in front of three. If you can bring those three, now fine, it doesn't have to be, there are 12 points out, doesn't have to necessarily be people so who are so expert in the dinin, but at least that they know how to figure out the value of things. Inami, or Rabbi Bar Rav Huna tells him, it would be enough if you had three there to begin with, and now you bring two of them, because now they can be aidim to say that they were dayonim on this at the time. With things like this, derabanan, we say aid not a dayan. A person can be both an aid and a dayan, so that would work. The inami treisadi de paugus ba'apid betlosa, or another possibility, if you have two aidim that you divided the assets of the partnership in front of a basin of three, then if you bring two aidim that can testify to that, then that's also good. But otherwise, in other words, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna tells him, if you don't have any of the above, then your division of the assets of the partnership is no good, and you'd have to go and redivide it, and you'd have to go and redivide it in front of a beis din. Omale Menolach, so Rav Safra says, where are you getting that from? Omale, so he says, Ditnan, based on our Mishnah. Im yesh sham beis din, where we said if there's a beis din there, and a beis din generally means three, then he can make a t'nai in front of them as far as what we said, as far as Ashava Saveda, that he can say that I'm not going to go and be matriach myself to return the Saveda unless I know I can be fully reimbursed for my time. And the Mishnah had continued, Ein Shem Beis Din, and if there's no Beis Din, Bifnei Mi Yasna, then there's nobody to make a t'nai with, and therefore Shaloi Kodim. Therefore his assets come first, meaning in other words, as we learned the other day, Echas Kiloi Yevacha Evian, Shalcha Kodim, You're allowed to put your own financial needs ahead of anybody else's when it comes to these kinds of things, like a Shavas Aveda and whatever. Later on, we're going to learn on Daflam and Gimel. The Gemara is going to mention that Kolam Kain Ba'atzme Kach Seif Voli De Kach. Person keeps on being picky and always saying, I always have to look out for myself. Then eventually Hashem is going to make it that he's technically going to have to look out for himself. He's going to become poor, but Ikar Adin is allowed to do that. So the point is, we see from our Mishnah that to be mafkir money, to be able to take away money from one person and give to another, you need a beis din. So the same way, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna tells Rav Safra, you wanted to divide up the assets of the partnership, and we don't know, after all, without people coming and evaluating the value of things, how much belongs to you and how much belongs to Isser, then you should do it in front of a beis din. Omale, but Rav Safra says, me dummy, how is it comparable? Possum to map with Mamoina Mahai, most of Mahai. There you're actually talking about, you're taking away money from one person and giving to the other. Here you have, Reuven is saying, I found this Aveda. It's going to take Tircha, it's going to take time and money to return it to Shimon. So I'm not doing that unless Shimon is willing to reimburse me for all of my time, the full value of my time. And then we're saying, you need a beis din for that because Shimon is going to actually be paying money out to Reuven. But Rav Safra says, Abel Hocha, Didei Shakli, here, all I'm taking is what's my own. It's a partnership, after all. We each own half of it. So why should we need a beis din? Gilei Milsa Ba'almahu, all it is we're just, we want to be able to know that I divided things up evenly. So in other words, all we need is Eidos, Betrei Sagile. So two, it should be quite enough for that, like any other thing of Eidos. So that's what Safra is saying. The reason I divided up the assets of the partnership in front of two is because I figured this is not, I'm aware of the Mishnah, but the Mishnah is talking about taking from one person and giving to another. Here we're just talking about to begin with, I own half the assets, Isu owns the other half. All we need is Eidos, and Eidos, you only need two. And Rav Safra continues, Teda. After all, you can prove that. You can see that it's so. D'tnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Masech Tiksuvos, Almona Mecheres Shaloi B'fnei Beis Din. And Almona is allowed, where Rashi explains, we're talking about where the Almona is going to be supported out of the assets of the Yisoyim. So as we learned in Masech Tiksuvos, and sporadically here and there since then, that after a man passes away, his wife is entitled as one of the Tnoi Ksuba to be supported out of the estate until she remarries or until she dies. And so you can have a situation where the Yisraimim has not provided her with her food or whatever that she needs for her upkeep, and then she's allowed to sell some Nechosim in order to raise money for that. can, the Mishnah says over there, that she can sell shaloi b'fnei beis din, implying all you need is edim. So you need two edim to make sure that she's not undervaluing things when she sells them, but you don't need a beis din. So Rashi again explains that we're talking about when she's selling in order to collect from the zonah. So there are Rishonim who learn that actually it means rather that she's selling in order to collect her actual ksuba. In any case, Tosfos actually points out that the fact is the Gemara does explain over there that there are reasons why by an almana, specifically why she's able to sell things unilaterally like that. There can be a reason because of chen, because you want to make sure that you want to make sure of chino, which itself we have several explanations of the Rishonim what chino means. Does it mean that this way she'll have more assets and be more attractive as somebody that other men will potentially want to marry? Is it the other way around that we want that there should be a good relationship between men and women, that she should know to begin with that she's more easily able to collect what she needs to without having to go through the beis din process? You have the reason also shalotis vaz of a beis din. It's not right that she should have to be humiliated by going in front of beis din. So maybe that's something special by an almana. Still, though, Tosfos says, Reb Safra's point is, once you see that almana mecheres, even though, and it's true, because of chinah, she's allowed to do it outside of beis din, the same way a partner, it's true, by partnership, there's no matter of chinah, but nevertheless, Reb Safra is arguing it should still be the same thing. But, Omele Abaya, but Abaya says so in short, Reb Safra is saying that the basis on which I sold in front of only two edim was because I figured it's exactly like that case and all you need is edus and we don't need an actual beis din. Abaya says to Reb Safra, the lav me itman Allah, you don't you realize it was said about that? Omer Reb Yosef Amin Yumi Omer Reb Nachman. When we say that she can sell outside of beis din, almana in tzricha beis din shal mumchin, she doesn't need a beis din of experts. It is true, aval tzricha beis din shal adyotis, but she needs at least a beis din of plain people. Meaning, in other words, the Ramban explains that what we mean is by mumchim, we mean, in other words, people who are experts people who judge dinim mominus, dayonim who judge dinim mominus. You don't need that. And hediotis would just be people who, they don't know the halachas at all, but they do know how to evaluate the value of things. So yes, even by the almana, she does need a beis din shel hediotis. At least you need three people who are bekiyin b'shuma, who know how to evaluate the value of things, and the same thing with you, Reb Safra, you should have done that. Tosfos actually deals with over here in some detail that we say that the Gemara seems to imply over there that she did it completely unilaterally, but still, even if it was based in Hebyotis, still, when there was no mumchim, then still it seems as though she was taking for herself unilaterally. When she's selling for other people, when she says it's different when she takes it for herself. For example, she might take certain assets of the Yisoymim directly to feed herself, versus she might take some to sell to others. Tosfos draws a distinction between them that in that case, then, as long as there was a beis din shel hediotis, then fine, what she did it was valid. And Tosfos goes on to deal with that point about selling to oneself versus somebody else, which we touched on the other day also in terms of, for example, when a person finds certain kinds of avedas, when we said shomz mein manichon, we said he can figure out how much they're worth and set aside that amount of money. Is he allowed to sell them to himself? So we talked about that the other day, and Tosfos over there referred to this discussion over here, when you're allowed and when you're not allowed to. Anyway, the bottom line is, in our story over here, Reb Safra, Rabbi Bar Avuna tells Reb Safra, and Abaya tells Reb Safra that no, you shouldn't have dissolved the partnership on your own, or you shouldn't have done it just in the presence of two edim. You should have done it in front of a beis din of three, and if not, then Issur has a valid claim against you that it wasn't a valid division. Okay. Mishnah says, continuing on the halachas of Hashavas Aveda, Motzah Berefes, if you find an animal in a barn, ain chayava, then you're not chayav to return it. Now the Gemara is going to say, well, of course, if you find it in a barn, what's the chiddush? So we're going to talk about in the Gemara what kind of barn we're talking about. Rishos Arabim chayava, but if you find the animal in Rishos Arabim, then if you find the animal in Rishos Arabim chayava, then yes, you are chayav to return it, because then it's lost based on the criteria that the Gemara had discussed before, whether it's running away or whether it's in a place where it might be injured, etc. But if the animal or whatever it was in a beis hakvaris, lo yitam, and he's a kohen, lo yitam elah, then he's not allowed to become tameh in order to return it, as we learned the other day in the Gemara, because for a kohen to become tameh would be violating an esse and a lois esse, and to return a lost object is only an esse. And there is a lois esse involved as well, but we said that's neither here nor there. The point is that the esse of hoshiv teshivim cannot override the lois esse and the esse for a kohen not to become tamei. We talked about the other day what Rishonim say. Well, in that case, if he never picked it up in the first place, then how can he be chayev? Then how can we even be talking about that he's chayev in the mitzvah say? And we said, for example, that Ramban mentions that you could have a case where he did pick it up and then it blew, wandered off or whatever into the Beis HaKvaris, and at that point then you potter because of that matter of esse doicha lois esse, and then you have other understandings among Rishonim as well. Continues the Mishnah. Im omalei aviv hitama. What if his father tells him, go become tamei for it? So here you have that, the kohen sees an animal in the Beis HaKvaris. His father tells him, you know what, doesn't matter that you're a kohen, you have a mitzvah, Hashavas Aveda, go do it. So you would think you have two things, you have Hashavas Aveda, and you have the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. Nevertheless, no, Osho Omalei al tafsir, or the other way around, if the father tells him, in a regular case, don't return it. Where, for example, he could be telling him, don't return it because right now I need you to do something for me or whatever. So in either of those cases, lo yishma lo, the son should not listen to the father, because as we're going to explain in the Gemara, when your father tells you to be over on something in the Torah, you don't listen to him because both you and he are chayev in the covenant of Hashem. We're going to see in the Gemara. Okay. Now, from here, the next daf or so, we're going to digress to talk about the dinim of priko te'ina. We talked about them a little bit on daf lamed aleph over Shabbos. So you have like this: in two places in the Torah, it talks about the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda in Parshas Mishpatim and in Parshas Kisetze. In both of them, back to back with that, you also have the mitzvah of that in Parshas Mishpatim. You have Kisira Hamos Sainacha Roibet Tachas Masoi. If you see your enemy's donkey crouching and lying and collapsed under its burden, B'chadalta Me'azovlo, you might think to hold back from helping him, but no, Oziv Tazavima, you certainly have to help with him. And then you have in Parshas Kisete, you have a pasuk that says, Lois Sires Chamor Achicha Oshoda Neufel Maderach. You're not allowed to, when you see your fellow yids, donkey or ox, lying down on the road, be salam to mehem, and hide yourself from them, tokim imo, you have to help him lift up the animal. So these are the mitzvahs called priko uteina. You see somebody else where his animal is struggling under its burden, you have to help unload the animal and reload it properly. So now, since in the Pesukim it's back to back with the mitzvahs of Hashavas Aveda, so here also in our Perek, then the Gemara digresses, the Mishnah and the Gemara digress for the next block to talk about the details of those dinim. So the Mishnah starts off, porak v'tan, if you unloaded the animal and then you reloaded it, and then it fell down again, and then you unloaded it and reloaded it again, it keeps on falling down. Even if this happens 4 or 5 times, chayev, then you're still chayev to do it again and again. Shenema ozev tazev, as the pasuk says, ozev tazev. So we learned in the Gemara yesterday. Actually, it's not so much the double. It's not so much that there's a double expression ozev tazev. So then it would mean only twice. The word ozev by itself is an infinitive, meaning as many times as is necessary. And the tazev means that even if the owner is unable to help, for example, he's old or sick or whatever, then you're still obligated to help. On the other hand, the Mishnah continues, holach b'yoshavloi, if the owner is there and perfectly able to help, and he goes and sits on the side, v'omar, and he says, ho v'alach ha-mitzvah, since you, the passerby, have the mitzvah, im ritzon ha-lifrik, if you want to unload the animal and get the mitzvah that way, proik, then go ahead and do that. potter, then you're actually potter from doing it, and you can leave him as is, and he'll either find somebody else or start working on it himself or whatever it is. Shenemar, the pasuk says imo, the pasuk says with him, implying that he himself has to be assisting if he can as well. On the other hand, but if the guy is old or sick, then you are chayev, because then it's not a matter of that he's not helping where he could. There, he physically can't, and that we learned in the Gemara yesterday that you learned from the word tazoy that you do have to help him out in that case. Okay. The Mishnah continues, mitzvah and a Torah lifrik have a low litain. The mitzvah in the Torah is only to unload the animal, not so much to reload it, which the Gemara is going to explain. It doesn't mean there's no mitzvah at all to reload it. It means it's not the same kind of mitzvah, and according to the Tanakhama, you are allowed to get paid for your time when it comes to reloading. So as we'll learn in the Gemara. But Reb Shimon Omer, Aflitter, and Reb Shimon says, no, both of them are an equal mitzvah, meaning that you can't get paid for either one of them. There is actually, the Rosh talks about over here, certain halachas where the Rosh argues that there might be a difference when you're allowed and not allowed to be paid. It depends whether you have other work to do or whether right now you're unemployed, and different later Rishonim and Achronim talk about various ins and outs of that, what exactly would the halacha be in such cases. Anyway, the Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yosi Agbiliyomer, Im Haya Olav Yosi Amasoi, if the animal was overburdened, to begin with, the owner put too much on the animal, ein zokukloi, then you're not responsible to get involved and help anyway. Shenema, because the pasuk says, takas masa'oi, the pasuk says that the animal is collapsing under its burden, which implies, Rabbi Yisrael says, masi shiyokha lamedboi, it has to be the kind of burden where the animal would normally be able to stand with. And now, let's say, because it was put on unevenly or whatever, the animal is struggling, but not to begin with where the person overloaded the animal, because then that's his fault. Okay. So, the first part of the Mishnah, again, in our Mishnah, we had switched from one set of dinim to the other. First, we were talking about Hashavas Aveda, and then we were talking about Prikotena. So, going back to the part about Hashavas Aveda, we said that if you find an animal in a barn, then you don't have to deal with it. So, Amar Rava, Refes Sha'omru, the kind of barn we're talking about in the Mishnah, Enem Mas of Enem Hashameras. It's not the kind that's going to cause the animal to wander, but it's also not the kind where the animal is so safe in there. Meaning, in other words, so it's not the kind where the animal is going to specifically want to run away from. So, for example, let's say so examples would be the Ritva gives an explanation. Let's say, for example, there is some grass in there, there is a hay or whatever it is, there is something in there for the animal to eat. So it's not like it's forced because of hunger to leave there and find something else. There's different other explanations. The Meiri gives an explanation that it means, in other words, that it can't so easily get out of there. Let's say, so there is a doorway, but it's narrow, and to get out, it would have to squeeze its way out, so it's not necessarily going to. But Ve'enem Hashameres, but it's also not locked, so the animal could get out if it wants to. And that's the kind. The Mishnah is saying that Ein Zokukla. How do we know that, says Rava? It's not the kind where the animal is going to for sure leave it, because the Mishnah is saying you're not chayev to do anything about it. If it was masa, then you would, because then it's going to run away. Mefoshim, by the way, deal with, you know, we learned in the Gemara previously, we learned on Daflam and Aleph, we had the whole discussion about whether the animal is running to the city or away from the city, and whether it's whether it's in the vineyards or whatever, where it might damage the vineyards or it itself, if it's running in the vineyards, might get injured or whatever. Here we're not talking anything about that. So there are different points that Mefoshim make in terms of, for example, when the animal is running, are we talking about, for example, where there's a lot of people around, where there it's likely to get spooked, and therefore it's running, and it's likely to get injured or further lost or whatever, versus here we're not necessarily talking about there's a lot of people around, so therefore you find it in a barn, then we're saying if the barn is masa, if it itself is the kind where the animal is likely to wander out of the barn in search of food or whatever and get lost, then even though it's not running, then you still have to return it, as opposed to before would be, for example, where it's in the road, And soon enough, it's, you know, with a whole bunch of people on the road, sooner or later it's going to, it's going to stop because it doesn't want to bang into things. So the different possibilities that Mephoshim talk about how to make this din work with the previous ones about the animal running versus walking and grazing and whatever. Anyway, the barn of our Mishnah, we're not talking about where the animal is necessarily going to go lost from it, because after all, the Mishnah says, Eina chayva, the Eina mishameras. On the other hand, it's not the kind where the animal is definitely safe in there, where it's locked up. Because the Mishnah has to say that he's not chayv to do anything with it. If you were going to think that we're talking about a barn that is completely enclosed and completely locked up, and the animal can't get out, well, then you can make a kavachoyim. Mashka chalav roi. If you found it outside to the barn, ma'ayalola gavoy, and you'd be yotze by putting it back into that barn. We learned previously that even you put it into his gino or his churva, as long as they're locked up, then it's fine, even though you didn't inform him. You put it in his garden or his ruined building or whatever, and still, even without his das, then as long as it's safe in there, then you're good. Mashka chalav gavoy miboya. How much more so? If you actually find it inside the barn, Elul Shmamina Einam Shameres. Therefore, says Rava, you see from that the barn we're talking about is not one that's Mishameres. It's one where the animal could get out, and nevertheless, since it's Einam Masa, since there's a good chance the animal will stay in there and eat contentedly, then you don't have to do anything further about it, and you can leave it and expect that the owner is going to come and find it soon enough. We said in the Mishnah, now there's another detail on that. Matzah b'refes ein chayev. We said, if you found it in a barn, then you're not chayev. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bushai medes toichot tchum. Now that would only apply, though, if this barn is located within the tchum, within a tchum Shabbos of the city. There we can assume that the owner knows about it, or at least that he can easily come and get it. So the Gemara says, b'klal d'birushos rabim, afilu b'seichat tchum nami chayev. So the implication of what Rav Yitzchak is saying is that if you find the animal in Rosh Hashanah and not inside the barn, then you would be chayev to return it, even if you find it within the tchum, nami chayev, then you would also be chayev to return it. Because it's not in a barn, it could easily get lost. And again, it's one thing, as we learned yesterday, if it's grazing by the side of the field and you see it there during the day, then fine, we can say the owner knows that it's there, but here we're talking about that stam, it's randomly in Rosh Hashanah, and therefore the owner may not know it's there, or it may get spooked by all the traffic in Rosh Hashanah and run off or whatever, therefore you'd be chayev to return it. On the other hand, there are those who learn Rav Yitzchak's statement as referring to the Sefer of the Mishnah, which is the Shosarabim Chayavba, where the Mishnah had said that he's Chayav, if he finds the animal in the Shosarabim, he's Chayav to return it. And on that, according to that version, Rav Yitzchak says, Om Rav Yitzchak Bushai Medes Chot Tatfum. Only when that Rosh Hashanah is outside the tchum, miklal, where the implication reads a berefus, that if it's in a barn, afilo I met a spot for tchum, even if the barn is outside the tchum, nami ain't a chayeba, then you wouldn't be chayeb either, because as long as it's in a barn, as we said, ain't a masav, ain't a mashameras, then that would be fine. Usually in the Gemara, by the way, we have the usual rule is that the halacha is like the second version, where the Gemara brings two versions of a statement or of a discussion. Usually the halacha is like the second one. Here actually the Rambam has the Girsa the other way around. He has Rav Yitzchak first, the first version was that Rav Yitzchak's statement refers to the Sefer, and the second version was that it refers to the Reisha, and the result is the halacha is like that. So the Rambam paskins, so the Rambam Paskins and then Amar brings it that if the barn is in the tchum, that's when you have the din of our Mishnah that you're not chayev to return it from there. But on the other hand, that if you found the animal in Rosh Hashanah, even within the tchum, then you would have to return it. We said in the Mishnah, Beves HaKvaris Lo Yitamala, that we said if you found the animal in a Beves HaKvaris and you're a Kohen, then you don't become Tomei for it. And we continued in the Mishnah, we said that also if the Kohen's father tells him, do become Tomei, or he tells him, don't return it, then he shouldn't listen, because you don't listen to your father when it comes to going against the Torah. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan. Minayin shim omaloi ovavitama. How do we know that if a person's father tells him become Tomei, and he's a Kohen, Osha omaloi al tafsir, or when he tells him don't return this Aveda, Shaloi Yishmaloi. How do we know that the son should not listen to the father? Chanema, because the Pasuk says, Ish imay v'aviv tiro, the Pasuk says, each person should fear his father and his mother, and you should observe my Shabbosim, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, which means that extra part, Ani Hashem means kochem chayov mechvodi, all of you, Ani Hashem Echechem actually is how it says in the Pasuk, and that's how Agos Habach quotes it, meaning kochem chayov mechvodi, all of you are chayev in my covered, so just like, so you're chayev in your chayev in kibud av ve'em, and then your parents are also chayev in kibud av ve'em. So, in other words, it actually types it out that, I'm telling you, fear your parents, but I will judge both of you. So if your father tells you to do something, for example, to break Shabbos, that's why it says, v'eshab sosi tishmoru, then no, don't listen. So the Gemara says, time of the Pasuk Rahmanu v'eshab sosi tishmoru. Okay, so what are you telling me? Because the Pasuk says v'eshab sosi tishmoru means that means that you have to mean, and that from that we learn that you, that kibud av ve'em is not dosa Shabbos or any other mitzvah. What does that mean? Does that mean if it weren't for those words in the pasuk, we would have said that you do listen? We would have thought that you do listen to him. So why is that? Why would we even think? Why would there be a haba minute to listen to your parents in such a case anyway? Again, it's one of those esse de chalois esse cases. Hi esse, v'hai lois esse, v'esse. Kibud av is an esse, kabir es avicha v'esimecha. To not return an aveda is a lois esse and an esse, because you have the esse of choshev to shivim, and you have the lois esse, lois soch alis alim, v'loi osi esse, v'dochi es lois esse, v'esse. And as we've learned before, an esse does not override a lois esse and an esse. So when it came to a koyin becoming tomei, there we said we ignored the lois esse that's involved in Ashrava Saveda, because when you talk about esse docha lois esse, it doesn't really matter whether the esse has an accompanying lois esse as well. The point is that what you want to override, if it has an esse and a lois esse, then you don't do that. Therefore, koyin becoming tomei, where there's an esse and a lois esse involved, then you don't do that, and we don't care about the fact that Ashrava Saveda also has a lois esse. Here it's the other way around. You're talking about overriding Ashrava Saveda. What's the haba? I mean, it's the thing that you could override it because of kibud av ve'em, which is only an esse. And the answer is itzrich. The answer is we still need it. Sakud ad chamina, without the pasuk telling you, Reshab Sosi Tishmodu, you would think, Hova Hukash Kibud Ava'e Mechvodish Amokim, we have a hekish between the honoring of parents and the honoring of Hashem. Shenema Kan, not really a hekish, but almost more like a Zer Shova. Shenema, but they're both the same word is used by both of them. Shenema Kan Kabedis Avicha Vasimecha, Venema Lahan Kabedis Hashem Mechavincha. You have the Torah says, honor your father and mother. In Mishle, there's a pasuk, honor Hashem from your wealth. In fact, Tosfos says, you have similarly by Moda, you have by fearing your parents, but also you have in the Torah itself, Yishime Va'utiro, and you have a Hashem Alekechatira. But the Gemara wanted to find a pasuk about Kavod, where we see that equation applies to Kavod as well, because here we're talking about Kavod, where the father is saying, for example, right now I need you for something else, therefore don't do this, and the Torah is telling you to ignore that and do the mitzvah anyhow. So anyway, the point is, so because you have, we see that Kibud Av Ve'em is so important that it's compared to honoring Hashem. In fact, not only compared to, in a way it's even stronger than Kibud Av Ve'em. We learned in Kiddushin, for example, you have a case, for example, where a person is poor, and you have a case where a person is poor and he can't afford to do various mitzvahs. Nevertheless, he's still chayev in kibud av ve'em, even if he has to go beg. So that's the Tosfos Rosh points out that's why you would think, in a way, kibud av ve'em is stronger than kavod for Hashem. So maybe you should be, it should override. So Hilkach Litzayas Lay. So you would think maybe in that case the person should listen to his father and not return the lost object or become Tommy or whatever it is. So Kamash Malandale Lishmale, therefore the Pasuk says with the words Vesham Sosi Bishmodu that no, don't think that way, and even in that case you still don't override the mitzvah because of Kibud Av Ve'em. Now we turn to the part of the Mishnah that says, that starts talking about Priko to Inna, Mitzvah in the Torah, Lifrik Avaloi Litzah, and we said the Mitzvah in the Torah the Tanakhama had said is only to unload the animal, not to reload it. And then Reb Shimon disagreed and said both of them. So the Gemara asks, my avaloliten, what do you mean? What do you mean there's no mitzvah to reload? Ilema avaloliten plow, do we mean there's absolutely no mitzvah to reload the animal? Why? Right? Why? When it comes to prika, the Torah says clearly in Parshas Mishpatim, ozev tazavim, which means you have to help out with him. The word ozev tazav, by the way, Rashi explains on the pasuk over there, literally the word ozev, the shurish, ozav, can mean to abandon. But it can also mean to strengthen. We find a pasuk in Nehemiah, for example, that describes by Yazvo Yerushalayim that they strengthen the walls of Yerushalayim. So Ozer Tazavim means to help strengthen the animal by unloading it. So then to Inanami Hoksiv Hokim Tokimim, and the pasuk in Parshas Kisetze says that you should help out, that you should help lift up the animal. That implies to lift up the burdens back onto the animal, so it can continue going. So both of them equally well says in the pasuk. So how can we be saying that one of them is a mitzvah and the other one is not? Ella, no. What the Tanakhama means is mitzvah and atzer lifrik bechinam v'lo liten bechinam ella b'sfar. Means as far as unloading, that you have to do, even for free. But when it comes, yep. Now the Gemara is explaining the derivation of it. So when it comes to unloading, you have to be willing to do it for free. When it comes to Te'ina, that you're allowed to charge for. You're allowed to charge for your time for Te'ina. In other words, when the Tanakhama says it's not a mitzvah litern, he doesn't mean it's not a mitzvah at all. He means it's not the same kind of mitzvah.
First one is because Tzav al-Chaim said that.
That's the Gemara is going to discuss that about Tzav al-Chaim soon, yeah. Reb Shimon Omer, Aflut in Mechinam, and Reb Shimon is saying that you have to, Reb Shimon is saying that even the reloading also has to be done for free. So the Gemara says, Tanein alaha de tanin abanan. In which case the Mishnah is telling us briefly what we learn in more detail in a Braisa, which means, in other words, that this Braisa we should know is a reliable Braisa, and we can learn it and we can ask questions from it and so forth. The Braisa says, Tanabon, Frika Bechinam Te'ina Beschar. When it comes to unloading, that you have to be willing to do for free. But when it comes to reloading, that you're allowed to charge for. Reb Shimon Emes, Zuvazu Bechinam, and Reb Shimon says both of them have to be done for free. My time, my Rabbanon. Why do the Chachamim say that they're different in that regard? So they say, they say because if you're going to think like Reb Shimon, that both of them are on an equal level and they both have to be done for free, then it didn't need to say both of them, like we learned in the Gemara previously. The Torah could have only written the mitzvah to reload the animal. It wouldn't have to even say the mitzvah about unloading, and we would realize on our own that you have a mitzvah to unload. Loading up the animal, there's no tzah balachayim involved. The lekach chisorin kis. And there's no chisorin kis because the animal is not going to be getting weaker and then weaker and eventually may die. And yet you're chayav to do prika de ispa tzah balachayim, but chisorin kis like koshkin. How much more so when it comes to prika where you have tzah balachayim, the animal is suffering and when it's getting weaker and the person may suffer a huge loss. So like koshkin, how much more so? Ella, so the Chacham say, Lamai Hilchsa Kasve Rachmana. So why does the Torah list Prika separately? Loi Malach comes to tell you, Prika Bechinam Te'ina B'Schar, to tell you that Prika has to be done for free, Te'ina can be done for Schar, and therefore it needed to write them separately because you can't just learn one by a Kavachoymer from the other, because then you wouldn't know that particular din. Vidab Shimon, my timer, so Rab Shimon answers back and says, now the truth is we're going to talk about in the Gemara a little bit. There is a potential chesaron kis when it comes to Te'ina as well, because now the guy's standing over there by the side of the road with everything unloaded, and he's losing time off. He could be going to the market to sell his things. He could be robbed or whatever. We're going to talk about that in the Gemara soon. But at least there's not the same kind of chesaron kis when it comes to Te'ina as there would be with Krika. So, Reb Shimon, my timer. Now, why does Reb Shimon disagree and say that that could have said one and we could have derived the other one from it? And therefore, he's saying, well, why is Reb Shimon? So the Chachamim are saying that it had to say both of them, and the reason it says both of them, even though we could have learned one from a Kavachoymer from the other, is to tell us that they have different dinim. Reb Shimon, who holds they have the same din, why does he hold that both of them are sad? The reason is, Mishum Dalem is Saimi Kroi, because he says the psukim are not definitive. You can't definitively say that one pasuk is talking about Prika and the other one about Teina, and therefore, if you only had one pasuk, you would think it's only talking about Prika, and you wouldn't know, Bechlal, you have the concept of Teina, because again, there's no Chisor and Kiss, and no Tzab Al-Chaim, and therefore it needed to write them both. Virabonon, where's the Chacham? Answer back, Amayla, Misayim Mikroi. What do you mean the Psukim are not clear? The Psukim are very clear which one is which. Hachoksiv Roivitz Tachas Masoi, the Pasuk in Mishpatim says that the animal is crouching, is collapsed under its burden, implying that it's still burdened, that it's still loaded up, and you have to unload it. Hachoksiv Noislam Badera, whereas in Parshas Kiseitza, the expression is that they are lying on the road. That implies that the animal and the packages are all lying on the road. In other words, the animal's already been unloaded, and you have a mitzvah to help reload it.
But lying means that the animal's laying on a floor, is laying on a floor for it, should be standing.
Maybe after it's unloaded. Maybe it's standing up, maybe not. The point is that no slim in the plural. In context, you would say, look, the pasuk is mentioning an ox or a donkey, so therefore it would use a donkey or an ox, so it would use noiflim, because you're talking about two kinds of animals, but still, since it says one or the other, then maybe it should have said noifail, that it's falling. Instead, it says noiflim, the Chacham is saying, the plural implies not only the animal, but all the packages.
Yeah, but once it's unloaded, it's not noiflim.
Isn't that? May or may not be. It may not necessarily have gotten up yet. Anyway, the point is, at least you, so therefore, the Chacham argue that it means that everything is on the road. But Reb Shimon answers back, Noiflim Aderach means Inu Tu Nayar Al Ilavayu Mashma. The word Noiflim can just as well mean that the packages are still on the animal, and the animal, together with the packages, are all lying there on the road, meaning not that they've been unloaded off the animal, but that they're still on the animal, and all of them are now together on the road. So therefore, Reb Shimon says you can't definitively say that pasuk is referring to reloading the animal. You could just as well say either one is talking about unloading it, and therefore you need both of them, because otherwise you would know only one mitzvah and not the other.
The first pasuk, according to Reb Shimon, is not really expressing the fact that that's got masoi.
The first pasuk says roivitz tachas masoi, right. Sure. But the second one also says noiflim aderach, and Reb Shimon says noiflim can also mean that the animal, together with all the packages of it, are lying on the road. Right. The Tanakhama is saying that it means that it means that it's already been unloaded, and you have the animal is still sitting there on the road, and the packages are sitting nearby it.
Questions over here still on Reb Shimon. Why have to tell you the same thing?
That's the point. According to Reb Shimon, if you only had one pasuk, you would only know one mitzvah. But so therefore, you need the second one to tell you the other one. Because
saying each pasuk can mean both.
That's the point. Because each pasuk can mean both, you can't be sure. Therefore, if you only had one pasuk, you would only know the concept of prika. Because there you have tzab al-chaim. You wouldn't even know the concept of te'ina at all. You would couldn't make a kal v'chomer. You could make a kal v'chomer the other way. If the Torah clearly told you te'ina, you could learn prika from it by kal v'chomer. That was the Chachamim's argument. So since it says them separately, and since according to the Chachamim, we can definitively say that the pasuk in Kiseitze is talking about te'ina, and then it could have said only that one, we would have learned prick about a kal v'chomer, and if it says them separately, then it means they have different dinim, ones for free, ones for pay. According to Reb Shimon, the vort is that neither one definitively means prick. Either one could have been understood to be only te'ina, or the other way around. Neither one explicitly is te'ina. Either one could mean only prick, only unloading, and therefore you wouldn't know te'ina at all, and therefore you have to have two psukim, one for each one. That doesn't tell us, therefore, says Reb Shimon, that you're allowed to charge for either one of them.
Because
both psukim are needed. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Omar Rav, Midivrei Shneiem Nilmad, from both what the Chachamim and Reb Shimon are saying, we can learn Tzav Bal Chaim Daraisa, that the concept of being concerned about Tzav Bal Chaim, both of them agree that Prika is stronger than Te'ina. The Chacham are saying you could even learn one from the other by a Kal V'chomer. And Reb Shimon is saying that if you only had one pasuk, you would assume that it refers to Prika. So therefore, we can learn, according to both of them, that the Issur of Tzav Bal Chaim is Daraisa. The Gemara, by the way, is not explaining over here where exactly that we see in the pasuk that Tzar Baal HaChaim is Daraisa. Rashi doesn't explain it over here, but Rashi in Masechet Shabbos, where it talks about a topic in it, explains that Taka, we learn it from over here, from Ozer Tazavim, right? And different other Rishonim give a few different other ones. The Rambam gives an interesting one, that we find that the Malach berates Bilam, Al-Mohi Kisa Sasan Chazer Sholach Om, why to hit your animal 3 times. So from that we learn that you have an issur to cause pain to an animal unnecessarily. And then the Ravid learns it from the fact that it says, Saxim show b'disho, that the Torah tells you not to muzzle an ox or any other animal while it's doing work for you. We're going to learn about those details, about those dinim, later in the Masechta. So there we'll see you have a concept of Tzar Baal HaChaim Daraisa.
Where do you infer from this pasuk that it means Tzar Baal
HaChaim? Well, that's what we're saying, because you have a mitzvah to unload the animal because it's struggling and collapsing under its burden. Now the Gemara.
How do we know that the pasuk doesn't say that? It's just unloading.
The pasuk is saying that if you see the animal collapsing under its burden, ozev tazev imo, you have to help him. So that the Gemara is starting with the Rava is starting with the assumption that means that the Torah itself is concerned after, based on various other psukim, that the Torah is concerned about the suffering of the animal. The Gemara is actually going to point out in a second that in Lav Dafka you could say the Torah is more concerned for the suffering of the owner. We're gonna get to that point in a second.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah,
so it could be damage to the merchandise.
Yeah. So we're gonna get to that point, and we're gonna get to that point in the next few lines. But wait. Rava is starting by saying that it must be that Tzar Baal HaChaim is Daraisa, because according to the Chachamim, we're saying again that you could have learned one from the other. What if it said Te'ina, then we would learn Tzrika by a Kavah Chomer. Va'afilu Rav Shimon. Even Rav Shimon, who argues and says that it's different, is because only because the psukim are not clear which one is which. Had the psukim been clear, then even Rav Shimon would agree that once it said to Ina, you would be able to learn Krika from it by a Kavah Chomer. So therefore, now what would be the basis of the Kavah Chomer? Mishumai, on what basis would you say that the Kavah Chomer, Lav Mishum Tzar Baal HaChaim Darshinan? Wouldn't it be because we can darshin it because of Tzar Baal HaChaim? So you see, Rava says that both Rav Shimon and the Chachamim agree on the principle that Tzar Baal HaChaim is Daraisa. However, the Gemara says, no, Duma Mishum De'ika Chisorin Kis. No, because there's not just Tzar Baal HaChaim involved over here. There is also a matter of Chisorin Kis. The owner, after all, is losing out because the animal is struggling and getting weaker over there, and it may even die. The hachi karma. So maybe the kavach chomer would be umatiina the less b'chisorin kis chayev madach when it comes to reloading where there's no chisorin kis because the animal is already unloaded. It's not going to get sicker and weaker because of it. And yet you're chayev to help out with that. Prika de isba chisorin kis like kolshkin. How much more so prika where there is chisorin kis? So maybe the kavah chomer would be based on that. Maybe we would say the whole concept of being concerned about Tzar Baal HaChaim is only derabbanan, not daraisa. But from the Torah's point of view, the reason why prika would be a stronger chiyuv than teina, not because of Tzar Baal HaChaim, but because of chisorin kis, because a fellow yid is going to lose money.
That's what we were discussing. Okay.
Yeah. The animal is getting weaker and weaker, and the animal may die. And if the animal dies, he's lost a huge amount of money.
We're talking about the unloading.
That's the point. When it comes to reloading, well, that's the Gemara is going to answer back. That when it comes to reloading, there's chisorin kis involved as well. That's the Gemara is going to answer. So let's learn the Gemara's answer, and then yeah. So the answer is the Gemara asks back. What do you think? There's no chisorin kis involved in te'ina. After all, you can easily have the case where there is, we're not helping him with te'ina, also causes him a chisorin kis, because the bottom, meanwhile, he's losing time from the market. Like this, if you help him reload, he can get to the marketplace sooner and sell his merchandise. And like this, because you're not helping him out, then he's not going to be able to. Or while he's stuck over there on the side of the road, Ganovan may come and steal everything. So yes, there can be chisorin kis involved with if you don't do te'ina. So therefore, that brings us back to, therefore, so you can't say that the difference between te'ina and prika is only chisorin kis, because actually you have chisorin kis by both of them. So therefore, of necessity, we have to say, what's the difference? Why would Tzrika be a stronger chiyuv than Te'ina according to both the Chachamim and Reb Shimon? It must be, like Rava said, Tzar Bal Chaim is the key factor. Now, Tosfos points out, you do have cases where there isn't chisod and kis in Te'ina, but still, the point is, once we see that by Te'ina, that where there's chisod and kis, then we can't say that either way, we're going to say Yochayev, then yes, we're going to apply and we're going to say that Yochayev and Te'ina, even where there doesn't happen to be chisod and kis. So you could have a case where the guy's not going to market, or there's no ganovim around or whatever, so it's perfectly safe, and then there's no chisod and kis to leave him with his packages there by the side of the road, and nevertheless, you still have a mitzvah to help. We can't make a kavu chomer only from a case where there's no chisor and kis, because really the dinim would be the same either way. You'd be chayav to do she'ina either way. So we can't say that the difference between prika and te'ina is chisor and kis. Necessarily, we have to say it's tzar bal chaim. That shows, like Rava said, that tzar bal chaim is deraisa. If it was Dirabanan, then the Torah itself wouldn't be making a distinction between Prika and Te'ina. Then you wouldn't have, according to the Chachamim, it wouldn't have to say both of them. It could have said Te'ina, and we'd learn Prika from it by Otav HaChomer, and according to Reb Shimon, fine, you don't know which Pasuk is which, but if you knew which Pasuk is which, then he would agree the same thing would apply. So that shows the only way to make that work would be if Tzar Bal Chaim is Daraisa. Tosfos, by the way, points out a point that the Gemara mentions elsewhere, that when a king dies, then they do different things in his honor, because you have different things that a king used, for example, his scepter and the horse that he rode on or whatever, nobody else is allowed to use after him, because it wouldn't be becoming to him. And there's a Mishnah that mentions that they would, or Bryce or whatever that says, that Uykur and Al-Malachim, when a king dies, they take the horse that he personally rode on, and they hamstring it. They cut certain nerves in its legs, so it can still walk and whatever, but nevertheless, it can never be used as a horse for marching in a parade or for war or whatever. It's covered for the king. So the Tzar Bal Chaim involved was saying Tzar Bal Chaim is allowed. How is such a thing allowed? And Tosfos says, because the covered of a king or a nasi overrides that kind of thing. Yes, you have an issue of Tzar Bal Chaim or a Bal Tashkis, but you have the covered of the king overrides that. And Tosfos brings in that connection, for example, we find, normally you have an issue of Bal Tashkis, but you find, for example, it says that when Rabbi Gamliel passed away, Unkelus, who was a ger, as we know, burnt a large amount of spices and other things by his funeral, as was the custom at that time in his honor, because he said, it's even brought that he said, they do this to Lahavdil for the Goyish or Roman emperors, how much more so Rabbi Gamliel is a lot more important than them. So we see, even though normally such a thing would be Bal Tashkis, but he was allowed because of the covered of the king or of the Nasi. So even though it's
Bal Tashkis, one second,
Tzar Bal Chaim, in other words, Tosfos was saying, is the same kind of thing that you can override it for important purposes like that.
Why do we have to give the example of a king? You can say Tzar Bal Chaim, we shouldn't allow it to take horses to battle. That's also Tzar Bal Chaim. What about that?
Okay, I mean, there you could have to a certain extent. Well, I mean, so there's no question where you're doing it for a need of your own. There's no question you're allowed to do it. Otherwise, you wouldn't be allowed to shecht animals in the first place. You wouldn't be allowed to hitch them up to a wagon or to a plow or whatever. That's also
exactly.
In there. No, the fact, no, obviously when there's an obvious human need over there, then for sure you're allowed to. We're talking about, for example, the Sukkot and Al-Malachim. There's not specifically a need of yours in there. It's more for the covered of the king, and nevertheless, the chiddush is that you can do it. So the point is, absolutely, the Gemara continues. Teda, in fact, you can prove that Tzar Bal Chaim Daraisa. The Chatoni is safer because the end of our Mishnah says, Rabbi Yosef Aglili Omer, Im Hoya Olav Yosef Amasoi Ein Zokokloi, that Rabbi Yosef Aglili says that to begin with, if the owner overburdened the animal with more than it's supposed to normally carry, then you don't have to deal with it. Kenema Tachas Masoi, because the Pasuk says that it's collapsing under its burden, implying Masi Shiyoch Olamid Boi, that it's only the kind of load that the animal would normally be able to stand under. Now, Rabbi Yosef really is saying that. Lav Miklal, the Tanakama Sova Zokutloi. Doesn't that imply that the Tanakama says you would have to get involved and help out anyway? My timer, why? Lav Mishum the Tzah Balachayim Daraisa. The Pashtus, because even though, yes, the owner is at fault for overburdening the animal, nevertheless, the poor animal is suffering with Tzah Balachayim, and therefore you still have to help out. So that would show that Tanakama holds that Tzah Balachayim is Daraisa. On the other hand, the Gemara says no. Duma b'tachas masoi to pligi. No, because the argument can just be how we douse in the word tachas masoi. Rav Yosi sava dashin and tachas masoi masi shiocha lamed bo. Rav Yosi really says when it says masoi implies something that it would be able to stand under. But Rabbanan Savri lo dashin and tachas masoi, and the Chum say you don't douse in that. So it could just be a difference in the drosha of the psukim, not necessarily that they're arguing over the concept of tzah balachayim daraisa. In fact, teder tzah balachayim lav daraisa. In fact, you have a proof maybe that's not daraisa. Dikatani, because it's a reisha, because the reisha of the Mishnah said holach v'yoshav loy. If the owner of the junkie sits on the side, but amalai hoyu v'alecha likret troy, and he says you have the mitzvah to unload, so go ahead and unload. Potter, then the person is Potter, because it says you have to do it with him. If you're going to tell me the whole concern about Tzah Bal Chaim is Daraisa, and therefore that's why, and that's the basis of the mitzvah to unload. What's the difference whether the owner is there and willing to help or not? Either way, you have a mitzvah to help. So therefore, wouldn't that prove that Tzah Bal Chaim is not Daraisa, and at most it's Dirabanan? So the Gemara says no. Lo'olam Tzah Bal Chaim Daraisa, no, because in fact you can say that Tzah Bal Chaim is a concern Daraisa. You're thinking when the Mishnah says that you're potter in that case when the owner doesn't want to help means you're completely potter. Maybe it means that here you would be entitled to take a wage if you're going to do it. So in other words, the pasuk could be saying ki isel amore bahadei when the owner is there and willing to help out over gabe b'chinam, then you help out with it for free. V'chilesel amore bahadei if the owner is not willing to help. But you do have to help. Now you're allowed to charge him for it. But that would still show that Tzah Bal Chaim is Daraisa, and regardless, you have to help. The difference is whether you're entitled to be paid for it. So you could say, after all, that even you could, and the same thing. And the machlokas Rav Yosef Agvili and the Chachamim, you could say that Rav Yosef Agvili, fine, we're hold that maybe Tzah Bal Chaim is not Daraisa, and therefore saying that he's potter, or maybe Rav Yosef Agvili would also mean maybe that you're potter to do it for, that you're potter to do it for free, but you're chayev to do it for schar. So you could still say that Tzah Bal Chaim is, Tzah Bal Chaim is Daraisa.
Comes to the loading there, you say, oh, you overload too much. That day, he was sick, the donkey, so he wasn't as strong.
Maybe, whatever.
It's happening. No.
Okay. So the Gemara gives a simon over here, simon behemas, oihav, sona, rabzon. The Gemara is going to try to bring different proofs from different other Mishnayos and Brais, from different other Braises, about whether Tzah Bal Chaim is Daraisa or not. So the first one is, can we say that we can support what Rava is saying, that Tzah Bal Chaim is Daraisa, based on the following Braisa? Braisa is behemas ovid kechavim, when the animal belongs to a goy, mitapa baka behemas Yisrael, you have to help out with the unloading, just like you would with a yid's animal. Now, if you say that consideration is something daraisa, well, that explains a yid's animal or a goy's animal. Either way, it's suffering, and therefore you have to help. If you say that it's not a matter of daraisa of tzah bal chaim, why should you have to help out with a goy, especially since the pasuk does say ochicha? And the answer is hosta mishum eva. The answer is, you could say, when the Braisa is saying you have to help out a goy, not because of Tzah Bal Chaim, but because you don't want goyim to hate Jews. You don't want the goy to think that Jews are discriminating against.
Sure,
it's not a matter of menschlichkeit. Eva is a strong thing. If this goy ends up thinking that Jews are discriminating against him, it can have bad effects for other Jews later on, and therefore you want to avoid that. But not necessarily that it's their Braisa. And in fact, the Gemara says,
you can take the lashon of Eva for many, many other things that infuriate goyim and say, you know, because of Eva, we shouldn't settle the land of Israel, we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that.
The Torah tells us explicitly
Where's
to
the
do
limit?
Something. Yeah, well, when the Torah tells us explicitly to do something, we don't care what the goyim say. You know, okay, we can't kowtow to them either. But when you have something over here, it's not the Torah that's telling you don't help out a goy when his animal is collapsing. It's saying you're not required to, but we can still well say that you should because of Eva, because you do have that consideration. So yeah, there are cases in Halacha where we apply Eva and cases where we don't. But basically, that's one of the differences, is whether the Torah tells you clearly to do something or not do something, or yeah. And the Gemara continues.
So everywhere the Torah doesn't tell you specifically to do something, then there's an Eva for Goyim?
Let's learn actually the next case in the Gemara over here, and you're going to see that there's a difference. Because, for example, Hochinam and Estabra, the Gemara says, in fact, it's logical to say that it's not necessarily you're helping out the Goyim because of Tzav Alachayim, but rather because of Eva. Because, Tony, the same Braisa continues. If the animal that the goy is taking is loaded up with a load of wine which is osur of yayin nesach ein zokukla, then you don't have to you don't have to get involved. You don't have to help. Now, iam b'shleima lav daraisa. If you say that the whole concept of tzav alachaim is not daraisa mishumachi ein zokukla, that's why you don't have to get involved, because now this is not going to cause eva. Why? Because now you have a reasonable explanation. Look, this kind of wine is also for us Jews to drink or even to have hanah from, and me helping you out with unloading the animal is going to be that I'm having a certain hanah, because now that you owe me a favor, kind of, and therefore it comes out that I've gotten a benefit through Yain Nesach. So a goy, in other words, can understand that kind of concept. You find in other places in the Gemara does similar things. There's Gemara, for example, in Avodah Zarah that mentions, for example, that a Jewish midwife is not allowed to assist in the birthing of a baby, of a goita, on Shabbos. And the reason is, what about Eva? She's a professional and she's expected to help everybody. But she can say, look, you know, the Torah only allows us to be mechallel Shabbos for somebody who's going to grow up and keep Shabbos, and your baby is not like that. So in other words, when there's a reasonable explanation that you know, obviously there's going to be anti-Semites all the time. There's always going to be people, you know, no matter what explanation you give them, it's never going to be sad at the Esav and Yaakov and all that. Right. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, let's say, the average goy on the street. Will he accept a reasonable explanation? So if you stand and tell him, look, you're a goy, I don't have to help you at all with your animal, that's going to cause Eva. But here, when there's Yain Nesach involved, and you can tell him, look, you know, this kind of wine is also for us Jews to handle, that's something acceptable that he'll accept. So that's the point. Let's finish the line first. So if you say that Tzav Alachaim is not Daraisa Mishum Hafi Ein Zokukla, then that explains why you don't have to be involved. Eli Amit Daraisa Amai Ein Zokukla. If you say that Tzav Alachaim is Daraisa, what's the difference whether the animal is carrying Yain Nesach or not? Either way, the animal is suffering. And the answer is no. In fact, you could say Hachi Kamar. Maybe what the Braisa means is ulat ina yayin osu en zokukla. Maybe it means as far as the unloading, that you have to do either way, because even though it's yayin nesef, nevertheless the animal is suffering. When it comes to reloading it, that you can tell the goy, look, I can't help you reload it, because that would be directly that I'm having hana from yayin nesef. And especially you said that according to the Chachamim, you can charge for the reloading, so therefore, so that I can't do. So in other words, and there, once you're talking about reloading, there's no tzav alachayim involved, so therefore you could say maybe that's Bryce is drawing the distinction. And Tosfos points out, in that case, we could say, when it's anything else that the animal is carrying, something which is not also, then maybe you would be required to either way because of Eichel. So in other words, maybe it's only in the case where you have a reasonable explanation, which is actually correct on the halacha, that you can't be involved in helping out with reloading Yain Nesach, then you don't have a problem of Eva. But otherwise, we would say to unload, in other words, the Gemara is saying at this point, maybe to unload, you would always have to unload because of Tzav Alachai, whether it's Yain Nesach or whether it's anything else. When it comes to reloading, if it's something also b'hana, such as Yain Nesach, then you can get out of it and there's no problem of Eva, but otherwise you would have to help because of Eva. Doesn't show necessarily, therefore, that Tzav Alachaim is not a factor over here. Maybe Tzav Alachaim is a factor, and that's why in the Braisa, maybe it's saying that you have to help reload, you have to help unload no matter what.
What about Mechaling Shabbos for Goy as far as a physician or a nurse
the
or
truth is, the
someone
truth
in
is
that.
That the truth is that Gemara that I was mentioning from Avodah Zarah about the midwife, for example, poskim nowadays say that this kind of excuse doesn't work anymore, really, and therefore, so Moshe, for example, has Trovas on the subject where a doctor is on shift in a hospital or whatever. For example, you have Apsola and you have other things like that. They can't very well refuse to treat goyim on Shabbos. That is going to cause tremendous eva. And the reason that the Gemara said about the ones who keep Shabbos versus the ones that don't, you know, society has changed and people are not going to accept such a thing. So there are certain there is a certain amount of leeway for them to do their jobs on Shabbos. Rav Moshe has many tshuvas about how there's certain things that they should try to do with a shinui as much as possible. But and of course if a Jewish resident in a hospital, for example, can trade off days with goyim, and he'll take over their shifts on their chogas or on their Sundays or whatever, then that's how he should do. And yeah, it's complicated. There are whole svarim that have been written on the subject. Yeah.
Well, they don't like that. They don't like that. I can tell you, I was in this situation. They hate it.
So then in that case, you have to ask the rub. So you have to ask the rub for your specific situation what to do.
Yeah. I did ask the rub. And the rub said no. The Rav said you cannot mechayel Shabbos for a goy, even if you're a physician, even if you're going to lose your license, okay. You cannot do that.
Okay.
What's the point then?
I don't know, but this isn't the place to talk about it. Let's continue the Gemara over here, and I don't know. I don't know who the Rav was that you asked, and I don't know what the basis was for his psak, but I can tell you there are definitely Rabbanim who make a little more leeway for it over here. But again, it's true, you know, why shouldn't we respect their chagas? It's only right that they should respect ours. It's not, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's go on. So the Gemara says, Toshma, behemas ovid kechavim u'masi sheyisrael. What about if the animal belongs to a goy and the packages that it's carrying belong to a yid? That the pasuk says v'chadalta. Now the pasuk says v'chadalta. You hold back. In context, it means it's like a rhetorical question. V'chadalta ma'azov. Like you're going to think to hold back from helping him? No, ozav kazavim. Right? But since the pasuk says v'chadalta, it can also be taken as a statement. You can hold back. It means in that case, you're entitled to hold back and not help out. So now why? If you're going to tell me that the whole concept of Tzab al-Chaim is Dard Isa, am I the Delta? So what? The animal belongs to a goy. Why should you be able to hold back? It should say that you have to help because of Tzab al-Chaim. And the answer is no. No, because that Bryce may be talking about the reloading. Again, there's no Tzab al-Chaim involved over there. So therefore, so you don't have to help out. Case. The Gemara says, Yehochi, Ema Sefer. Well, if you're going to learn like that, what about the Sefer of the Braisa? The same Braisa continues, Behemas Yisrael, Umasi, Ovechavim. The other way around, the animal belongs to a Yid, and the package that it's carrying belong to a Goy. Then the Braisa says, Ozev Tazev, you have to help out. The Ibatina, if you're talking about reloading, am I Ozev Tazev? Why do you have to help reload? And the answer is Mishum Tzayr to Yisrael, because then the Yid is having Tzayr, because he rented out his animal to a Goy, and he's carrying packages for the Goy, and therefore he's going to have Tzayr that he's sitting there by the side of the road. So the Gemara said, you thought the Afilu Reisha Nami. Well, the same thing in the Reisha as well. Either way, you have a Yid involved, because you have, either in the Sefer, the animal belongs to a Yid, and the Reisha, the packages belong to a Yid. So either way, you should have to help if you're saying because it's Tzayr to Yisrael. And the answer is Reisha b'chamor ovkuchavim sefer b'chamor Yisrael. The answer is the Reisha is talking about not only the animal belongs to a goy, but the goy is the one driving. The goy is the one taking the animal, and the only thing is the packages on it belong to a yid. The other way around, we're talking about not only the animal belongs to a yid, but also, and then the packages it's carrying belong to a goy, but also the one who's leading the animal itself is a yid. So the Gemara says, "My poskus." So what's the what makes you say that so definitively? Just because the animal belongs to a goy doesn't necessarily mean there's a goyish donkey driver. Just because it belongs to a yid doesn't mean there's a Jewish donkey driver. What's the logic? And the answer is stam de milsa inish vasa chamori ozu, because a person usually goes together with his donkey. So yes, when a yid owns a donkey and he's carrying burdens on it for people, usually he's going to be the one who leads the donkey, and the same thing with a goy. So yes, when you have behemas Yisrael, then you have tzayr Yisrael involved. When you have behemas ovkachavim, there's not such tzayr for the yid, because fine, the yid's packages are not getting to their destination fast enough, but the yid himself is not standing there by the side of the road worried about what to do. So, So the Gemara says, "V'hal v'chadalta v'hal v'chadalta v'ozav tazim tifa hu diksivi." What about though? You're saying that you can apply v'chadalta in some case, but what about though? That pasuk v'chadalta and the pasuk ozav tazim, the two psukim, the two words that the Braisa had mentioned, both of those are referring to prika. So what are you telling me that these Braises can be referring to tehina? Amalei ha'mani of yisagvili hidramat sabal chaim lav daraisa. So yeah, we can say, according to Rav Yosei Aglili, we can say Tzav Bal Chaim is not Daraisa, because we said in the Mishnah of Yosei Aglili, it said if the animal is overburdened to begin with, then you don't have to help out. I, Tzav Bal Chaim, fine. Rav Yosei Aglili holds that Tzav Bal Chaim is not Daraisa. This Braisa that we quoted can in fact be talking about Prika, and it's talking about, according to that opinion, that Tzav Bal Chaim is not Daraisa. But the Chachamim who hold that Tzav Bal Chaim is Daraisa, they couldn't apply it to that. They would have to say only they would have to say that no, as far as prika, you always have to help out, whether the owner of the animal and the driver of the animal is a goy or whether it's a yid, either way you have to help out. From Tzav Bal Chaim, as far as reloading, like we said before, it's going to depend on Ava or not, whether, for example, it's Yain Nesach versus whether it's something else. So we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, with more proof that the Gemara is going to bring one way or the other on this question of Tzav Bal Chaim.